It is now time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you hear that school bell, you know what that means. It's time to go get your school book. And of course, for this school, that school book is your Bible. And I'd invite you, if you will, to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In just a few moments, we're going to begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 16, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. That's to verse 33. And we're doing this as we bring this study of the Apostle Paul to a close. Now, after reading this, I also want to read to you the last chapter of 2 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so you may want to be turning and marking that as you go. And I'll explain that as well. Well, the reason is, that's the last that we have from the Apostle Paul. And I'll explain about that in just a moment. But while you're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now if you have your Bible, let's read these gracious words from the Apostle Paul. And what he's going to do, he's going to brag on himself a little. You see, there have been others who have been boasting, and what they have been teaching has not been good for that church at Corinth. And Paul is going to ridicule them in his own gracious manner, in which he does ridicule. And then he's going to start talking about himself, something he appears uncomfortable to do. He calls it foolishness. But he's going to do this to make a point. Paul has been their true teacher and their real teacher, and not these who have been bragging on themselves and leading them into bondage. And so let's read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 16. And I say again, let no man think me foolish, but if you do, yet as foolish, receive me, that I may glory a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of glorying, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you bear with the foolish gladly, being wise yourselves. For you bear with the man if he bring you into bondage, if he devour you, if he taketh you captive, if he exalt himself, if he smiteth you in the face. I speak by way of disparagement, as though we had been weak. Yet whensoever any is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in deaths oft of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of rivers. In perils of robbers. In perils from my own countrymen. In perils from the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is caused to stumble, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of those things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not in Damascus. The governor unto Aretas, the king, guarded the city of the Damascenes in order to take me. And through a window was I let down in a basket by the wall and escaped at his hands. Now, after reading that and coming to understand how much Paul suffered, as Christ said, the great things he must suffer for my sake, and as he suffered those, let's now read this last letter. I know that following 2 Timothy, we have the book of Titus, and that also is written by the Apostle Paul. But that is not in chronological order. The chronological order is 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy being the last epistle that Paul wrote. He wrote this epistle while he was in prison in Rome for a second time. And this time, he is going to be facing execution. And he knows that. And he writes about that. And he writes to this younger man, Timothy, who had meant so much to him in his work. A young man whom he loved so much that he called him his own son. His dearly loved son, and his son in the faith. And listen to the admonition he gives Timothy at the end, and the heart of Paul, and the things he has to say. It's a beautiful chapter. It is a glorious chapter, but it is also a very solemn chapter, knowing that this great man's work is coming to a close. And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned again into fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. For I am already being offered, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all that have love at his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Give diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for the ministering. But Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring thou when thou comest, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord will render to him according to his works, of whom do thou also beware, for he greatly withstood our words. At my first offense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. May it not be laid to their account. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and will save me into his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus, Erastus the chamberlain. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletus sick. Give diligence to come before winter. Eubulus saluteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord be with thy spirit. grace be with you. I think it's interesting that Paul concludes his writing with those words, grace be with you. You could have called Paul the great apostle of grace, God's favor toward man. He begins with grace and he ends with grace. It is also interesting that the you at the end of this book in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22 is a plural you. You see why that book of 2 Timothy is a personal letter. It wasn't private. It was intended for others to read. And it's been passed along to the churches down through the ages and to us today. And so we too can read these words and learn from that great apostle. And with this, that study of Paul the apostle comes to a close. Now, bringing that study to a close, I return to my little Sunday school book that was written by E. A. Elam. And we turn the page, and here is a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday of September the 9th, 1923. And this is John Mark. And so he'll be the next in this series of the great men and women of the Bible. Now, there are several texts that I'm going to read for this lesson, and you may have to kind of follow along here and be ready to turn some pages. The first one about John Mark is found in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, where we read, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying." And then further down in that chapter, Acts chapter 12 and verse 25, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministration, taking with them John, whose surname was Mark." And then the next chapter, Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from thence to sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John as their attendant." And then Acts chapter 15 in verse 36. "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John also, who was called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with them him who withdrew from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they parted asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark with him, and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and went forth, being commanded by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." And then we have this one, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. We read it just a moment ago. It's where Paul said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for the ministering." It is from this collection of texts that we're going to study about John Mark. The golden text for this lesson is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Mark is a very interesting young man who seemed to stumble when he was a young man, but he grew stronger as he went on in the Lord. One of the great things we have from this man called John Mark is the testimony that he has about Jesus. He wrote it in what we call the book of Mark, that second book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark. And so this young man, who's a companion of Paul and Barnabas and Peter, is going to be the subject of our next study.